This episode of the Missed Spots podcast is sponsored by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial by going to audiblepodcast.com/missspots. Choose from over 150,000 titles that can be downloaded to your computer, iPhone, Android phone, or any other audio device. Get Terry Funk, More Than Just Hardcore, Dusty, Reflections of Wrestling's American Dream, or many other options. It can be yours for free by going to audiblepodcast.com/missspots. Thanks. Now enjoy the show.
Time to play the game!
Welcome, everybody, to another new episode, the first episode of 2015 of the Missed Spots podcast. I'm Mike.
I'm Kevin.
And we're maybe about a week later than we normally get to you on this stuff. Holidays, work,
booze.
Pretty busy, guys. Yes, lots of booze. We ended 2014 on a pretty good note with a very good episode of Raw, which I think we're going to spend a good amount of time talking about. Because we don't have really a pay-per-view to go into. Thoughts?
I'll just start off by saying that this is the best Raw I've seen in a long, long time. I was so impressed that about Mike and I don't watch the show together. About an hour and a half into the show, I had called Mike and said, "Are you watching tonight?" Because, you know, every now and then one of us will have to record it and watch it another time just because of, life gets in the way. But and he said he was, and I told him, I said, "This is amazing." I was so impressed by the flow of the show, the matches that were booked, the angles that were booked. It just seemed that there was continuity. Things were interesting. We can start off by going through the show and what happened and why I enjoyed it so much. The first segment to start out was Edge and Christian coming out as the guest GMs of the night, I guess you would say. And it's good to see those guys back in the ring. I don't know how you feel. I think sometimes the older stars coming back, we see it with Jericho, they can be a little stale.
Mm-hmm.
So I think some of the younger fans might not even know as much of who they are. And it seems a little desperate with some of the pops and stuff. Those guys are in their 40s, and reeking of awesomeness just sounds a little weird
coming
out of them at this point. But they're still great performers, and it's still good to see them back.
I felt Christian was a little more of like a bumbling sidekick than he typically was. Like when they announced, Dolph Ziggler against Rusev, and Christian goes, "And they'll both be naked." It's like, okay, he did that a few times throughout the show where he'd jump in and add something.
Just trying to be funny.
Yeah.
And it didn't really go over very well. But what did happen there was Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman coming out.
Brock!
And it's always good to see Heyman on the show. It's great to see Brock on an actual episode of Raw because it's so rare. And with then Cena coming out, and you know, Cena's banter is always a little bit stale, but I really love the going after Heyman to sucker Brock in.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a cool little twist. It was insignificant in the grand scheme of things, but it just seemed creative.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like
it's not something that Cena would typically do.
Right. I just thought that was a cool little, it was just a little touch that I was like, oh, that's an interesting way to play this out. And the fact that Brock backed down, Brock is a monster. He, in order to get heat, he has to back down. You know, he goes straight ahead. Why don't you cheer a guy who is the biggest, baddest guy in the yard and never backs down from a fight? That's the baby face. So, the fact that he backed down from that, I think was good. That first little segment opening up with a long in-ring, promo has kind of become the norm recently.
Not since the Authority.
Yeah, exactly. Which, shows.
Foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing. That's the right word. But this was, I think, was done pretty well for an opening segment. And then we went on to the first match, which was Rusev and Dolph. What did you think about that?
We both kind of knew what was going to result of it. We thought that there could be a good match. I mean, said it before, say it again. Dolph can't put on a bad match with anyone. He could wrestle with a broomstick and put on a good match. And I think it was an entertaining match until, of course, we have a DQ finish with Rusev not responding to the five count to break a hold. And I think it's actually a testament that Rusev is a pretty damn good worker himself.
He put on a very good match. I thought the match later on in the with SmackDown against Reigns was pretty good.
He's a pretty good seller.
He does sell well. We've mentioned times where like he's taken even when he was fighting against Swagger, he was selling his ankle pretty well. Mm-hmm. Even though he gets him mixed up every now and then.
Yeah.
But he's got a good ring persona. He's gotten a lot better.
Actually, I think it was Swagger that got them mixed up. He started attacking the other ankle.
Okay. I know we talked about it in some way. But I am not a huge fan of giving away matches like this just as the opening of Raw, because I think that there's money to be made in Ziggler and Rusev. And we knew it was going to be a disqualification. We knew that. Because we knew that neither one of them were given the title. First of all, Rusev isn't losing on a match on Raw. Mm-hmm. And Ziggler's not going to drop the IC title to Rusev. So we knew.
Now, they didn't say whether or not the titles were actually on the line. They just said champion versus champion.
Oh, I thought they said title for title. That's what I thought. I could have misinterpreted it.
Yeah, I don't think it was ever said that it was a title match.
But we knew how it would end. That's going to be a DQ finish. But it was a good match. It shows how Rusev is getting over more and more. And, you know, Ziggler, I didn't love the fact that Ziggler was booked to kind of be weak in there. So Ryback, who came down to kind of save him, I didn't love that. But I think Ziggler is to a point where that's not going to hurt him too much. He still comes over as a strong champion. He's held the IC title, even though with losing it to Harper for a brief period of time, for quite a bit now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the best IC champ we've seen since, like, in my opinion, since, you know, Triple H and Rock were fighting for the IC title some years back. I mean, just from what I see.
Yeah, it really hasn't meant a whole lot in that period of time since then.
So I just think that, I think in general, even though I don't necessarily agree with the entire booking of that, I thought that was a fine segment. And that brings us to something that you and I do disagree on, which is the fact that we come back after Ryback saves, Ziggler, and he's in the ring giving a promo. Now for me, you know, Ryback flubbed a few lines. He's not the most articulate guy in the world. I certainly, looking at him, can see that he would be a kind of guy that believes in the secret and the power of positive thinking, which is, you know, preposterous. But the fact that they're giving him, in my opinion, a personality and a reason for why he does what he does. He is saying that I love this business. I wanted to be in this business. I failed. I came back. I ripped my leg apart. I came back. And now I'm here. And just that giving us a little bit of, because we as fans and that know the business a little bit know that he was all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But giving that on-screen persona, giving him something more than a dude, a big jack dude whose catchphrase is more over than him, to me, he becomes a character with more dimension.
I honestly forgot that he was on Tough Enough. That one, I was like, oh, damn, I forgot all about that. I'm definitely in the minority here because I've read a ton of reports and opinion pieces and how people on Twitter were talking about this is great for Ryback showing character, like you said. And I'm all for that, but I just thought that it was one of the corniest, cheesiest ways of doing it. It was kind of like a, this is your life, but Ryback was doing it to himself instead of someone like Mick Foley doing it for him. I think it's great that they can add some character to him. I also like that they made it a point that he put across that this isn't about USA versus Russia. This is about me kicking your ass, which is something you've said for a while.
That's the most important thing. And using, you know, Rusev the way they have, I've always kind of been on the fence about the, you know, I don't like the foreign heel gimmick. I've gone on record and said I don't think it's been a great gimmick since the late 1980s. But they've used that to prop up Rusev to the point that he's at now. And I think hopefully this going forward is just the fact that people are trying to take out the U.S. champion and take out Rusev. And to me, this entire feud went from, okay, they're going to put Ryback with Rusev, to now going, okay, there's something to this now. I still don't know how they're going to book it. I don't know how both these guys are going to come out being strong, because you assume that Ryback's going to lose his feud, because I don't think that he's the guy to break the streak, or maybe it is. The fact that they're giving him a personality, that makes me question. Before, I would have said there's no way Ryback takes down Rusev. Maybe they do. Maybe they go with a couple month-long feud and they end it at WrestleMania. Who knows? But anytime you can give someone a character and a reason for what they do, to me, whether it's a little cheesy, going back and with me watching so many old Raw pay-per-views, and I'm in the late night in late 98 at this point, so real like great Attitude Era programming, there's a lot of super cheesy promos, there's a lot of things that you kind of smack your forehead and go, I can't believe they did that. So we remember all the good stuff and forget the bad.
Yeah,
this, it was character development, and if they continue going somewhere with this, I think it could be very good for them. The next thing after that was Natalya versus Nikki Bella. Tyson Kidd apparently likes Nikki Bella, and because of the Total Divas or something. It's great to see Natalya possibly now feuding for the women's championship.
Yeah,
that's what we think we might be seeing. What's going on around it? It's window dressing. I don't care about Total Divas.
It's Raw. It's business as usual with their divas.
Yeah, please stop. Please stop thinking that people from that watch the Total Divas are going to watch Raw.
What they should do, the writing team, is every week when they're going over their television and they get to where they need to work on the divas, they should be like, all right, someone pick up the phone and call the people down in NXT.
what would you do?
Yeah. You guys, we need Nikki, Natalya. We're going to give them 5 minutes of total time. Go. Can you expand it to 10? That's probably what the first question would be. But right. let some people who know what they're doing with the women do it. NXT's doing it right. And
but I will say this. Even though we're seeing some kind of soap opera-y stuff going on, that wasn't as painful as some of the other stuff we've seen recently.
No.
So maybe it's
a lot
going
of the AJ
better.
And Paige stuff.
Oh, yeah. So bad. So we had that, and hopefully that means, like we said, Natalya is going to get a chance to fight for the Divas Championship, which she deserves because she's one of the best people in the ring. The next segment we had was the Usos versus Miz and Mizdow for the championship, for the titles.
Oh, but before that, Naomi talks to Miz backstage talking about how she's got an audition, and Miz is like, hey, Mizdow, Let us have some privacy in front of a camera, to where everyone can see. But yeah, then we have the tag title match,
which was a good match.
Yeah,
it was an exciting match. I thought it was well done.
Went a little longer than your typical Raw tag match would go, but with the titles being on the line, I guess that constitutes that, and that's a good thing.
What I really enjoyed about this is that the crowd got into this match.
Yeah.
They were popping loud. They were making noise, which a lot of times in Raw, things are kind of stagnant, especially in longer matches. It seemed that they had drawn people in. I did not expect to see the titles change hands here. They did. They're back on the Usos. I would have bet you $50 that something happened for Miz and Mizdow to retain here. So I thought it was a good switch. I think having the titles on the Usos is a fine thing. I think that you're either going to have, for the short term, Tyson Kidd and Cesaro going after them, possibly, or the Ascension's just going to go right after the Usos. Mm-hmm. So you needed to have a babyface champion. But good match. Could I have gone without Jay and Jimmy in the ring talking about how they played Miz? They had this whole thing. Probably, because I don't.
Yeah, that interview was a little awkward.
I don't think those guys are as strong as the WWE hopes they are on the mic, because they're very rah-rah. They're very cheesy, babyface kind of thing.
And you had Jerry Lawler dropping a really cheesy joke.
Well, you had Jerry Lawler talking.
So Johnny Manziel.
Right. Oh, so he's always dropping a cheesy joke.
Yeah.
But once again, you give him a little short little interview time is fine after winning the championship, after a good match. So I think that's fine. That was a great segment altogether. From there, we went to Cesaro having a microphone in his hand. Tell me what you thought about this.
I liked it other than, of course, he flubbed the line, but as we've seen before, a lot of guys will flub lines. Roman Reigns, who's like the future,
the golden child,
he flubs lines all the time. I like that gave Cesaro a little bit more of a character, and he did flashbacks, but he didn't use video flashbacks. Like, now let's look at this. And I like that it seemed to be a more aggressive, more concentrated Cesaro. Like, I've had all this in front of me, and I've never been really given my chances now. It was a little bit less of, now I'm going to take it.
I liked the fact that he started off sitting in the corner like Raven.
Yeah.
I mean, it does nothing like the same character. I kind of dug that. And you gave Cesaro a microphone and let him stand in the center of the ring and give a promo by himself. I haven't seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a chance to answer essentially what Vince McMahon said on Steve Austin's podcast. And we got to see some of his character, other than the fact that he's a great in-ring worker. So once again, do I think that Bad News Barrett should have returned and beat him after that? No. Mm-hmm. I think that he should have then dismantled R-Truth or, I don't know, any...
Bad News could have came out and destroyed Adam Rose.
Right, right. I mean, I think they could have done something a little different with that. But once again, a little character development. Drop it here. He has the ability to be a main event star, in my opinion. Right now, his ceiling would seem to be like, you know, IC title level, but he's not there yet because they haven't pushed him as such. So giving him a little interview time here and there, let him go in and work in the ring. Obviously, they're trying to do a Tyson Kidd thing with him for a tag team. That's fine. Because if he uses the Cesaro swing, if he works the way he does, and if he gets better on the microphone, he's golden when he turns babyface.
Mm-hmm. And that might be the first time I remember seeing the swing in quite a long time.
Right. And people pop for it.
Mm-hmm.
And Wade Barrett coming back. That was great. He's a great character. He's been sorely missed on the program. He's a straight babyface, it seems like, coming back, which is different than how he left. He was a heel.
Yeah.
Cleaner heel, but still a heel.
Yeah.
So it's good to see him back. That's another thing. Wade Barrett and Cesaro, that's a very good match. That's a good feud.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully maybe, you know, a couple months down the road, we can see it actually.
We have seen that as a small feud before,
right.
And it works. They are good together. And if that could get, cause Barrett's very good on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
And if that could lead to making Cesaro have to step up his mic work a little bit, I think that would be a good thing.
Next, we had a small promo by Luke Harper, a backstage segment promo where he said something and looked very intense in his eyes. Harper was kind of forgotten about after losing the IC championship to Ziggler. Probably thought he might lose a little bit of momentum. He goes out and beats Swagger. Pretty competitive match for the most part.
That went a little longer than I thought it was going to.
Pretty good match. Ended up with Harper winning. So that was good. Harper's got all the talent in the world, And I, you know, there's so much talent right now on this roster. You want to see all these guys.
Yeah.
You know, that's why they need the U.S. title to be strong, because it gives guys like Harper and guys like Cesaro something to shoot after if they're not going to be in the IC title or the world title picture. But keeping Luke Harper relevant and giving him a little promo time, once again, good character development, good storytelling. Let's see. We went on to an Ascension promo, which I'm not sold on yet. I think it looks a little cheesy. I think on SmackDown, they mentioned the Road Warriors and Demolition in their vignette.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they said first there were Hawk and Animal, then there were Axe and Smash and Demolition, now there's Ascension. So they're definitely playing hard on the face paint. I mean,
the shoulder pads, the face paint, the attire is red and black, like LOD.
I could go without the triangle, red triangle face paint.
Yeah.
Forehead paint, I should say. I don't mind the little eye thing, little, you know, the little whatever you want to call it, eyeliner. I don't know what they do. But I don't mind that so much, but the triangles on their heads look a little foolish. But they gave a little, you know, a little vignette.
Are we going to get Victor doing like a whale in his promos?
I have no idea what they're going to be doing. What they did do was let's go segment by segment. So then we saw John Cena and Edge and Christian have a pretty cool little backstage segment. I thought it was well done. You actually saw some. It seemed like genuine talking back and forth, not word-for-word scripting, which they probably did because they trust the three guys that were back there.
Yeah.
And it also set up what was going to happen later on tonight. That night, I should say, which we'll get to, but that's good that they set that up in some small, meaningful way. Next we had...
Reigns and Rollins.
Reigns and Rollins. I mean...
A giveaway match.
And which should have been a huge... This should be a huge pay-per-view. This is after the Shield splitting up. This is a WrestleMania feud.
Yeah.
You know, they put on a pretty good match. Rollins is incredible. Reigns is still coming along. Now he's working off ring rust. Added on to the fact that he's kind of five moves of doom-ish. But pretty good match. We knew how it would end. Big Show's going to come down. Our Big Show, I think, was on commentary.
Yeah, he was, and pretty bad at it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Big Show. But
and he doesn't have much to ride off of with the rest of the team.
Yeah. So, but we had a pretty good match. Leads to a DQ. We kind of saw that one coming as well, just with the Ziggler-Rusev match. But it's still progressing the storyline. And we know what we're going to see as far as Show and Reigns at the pay-per-view.
And also, I'd also like to say about the commentary is the commentary took a lot away from the match because it was a good match going on.
Yeah.
And all they could talk about was Reigns and Show's beef going on, not what was going on in the
ring,
which happens a lot
all
with
the time,
product.
Well, the announcers are awful.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't call a match. They don't stress the importance of what's going on in the ring, of maneuvers, moves.
During the Harper and Swagger match, Harper did a Michinoku driver, and Cole called it
a
Michinoku driver. And Lawler goes, "What did you just say?" He goes, "Michinoku driver. It's the name of the move." And then they kind of. Cole or JBL and Lawler kind of belittled him for calling a move what it was.
Yeah, that's one thing that I wish they would change. But hey, listen, baby steps here. The next thing we got was the Daniel Bryan arriving to an incredible crowd reaction and telling us all that he's going to be in the Royal Rumble and he's in fact not done with wrestling. I mean, this is one of your best. This is one of your favorite guys. Would you?
Yeah. I didn't buy into any of the this could be the end of his career stuff. Like I read a lot of the stuff that was going on, and there was the thought that there might be something really wrong with his shoulder. But I mean, the guy's still pretty young, and I would have a hard time believing that he couldn't heal unless it was like some major neck thing, kind of like what Edge had.
Mm-hmm.
and Brian hasn't had these chronic injuries before. And it's like, I don't think that this is going to be a thing. I think that there it'll be a swerve, and he'll be like, I'm coming back to the Rumble, and I'm very happy to see that it was. Now, could they have foregone this whole thing and just had Brian show up as like number 30 in the Rumble mystery, or show up as a mystery entrant in it and get a huge explosion in a smart city like Philadelphia is on their wrestling? Like, you'd get probably one of the biggest pops of the year from that. They could have, but I think they wanted to build the Rumble probably a little more, because if you can advertise that Brian's going to be on it, you probably get some more buys, some more subscriptions to the network.
I look at it a different way. I think, first of all, you're a much smarter fan than... you're smarter than more, 50% or more of the...
I am not their key demographic.
Right. So... Yes, I genuinely, some people probably thought that he might be calling a career, very similar to Edge. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Edge was on the show, I think...
It helped.
It lent to that. But secondly, you're giving Daniel Bryan, who has not been in front of a crowd as much, more and more chance to talk. And we had talked since WrestleMania and before, like, Bryan needs to round that part of his game out. He's too all shucks, kind of all most of the time, and this is good for him. He saw a little bit of acting range in there. He sold it pretty well. He looked teary eyed half the time he was giving his promo. So it's not just the little bit of storytelling they did on Raw. It's also giving him more and more of a chance to do what's important for his character. So. I could go either way with it, but I thought it was a good segment, and it was really refreshing to see the crowd pop for him as loud as they did, because there was always a thought that, you know, he's not over, his yes chant is over. I think he's over. I think the people have missed him. I think having him back is great.
Yeah.
The next thing we saw was a small backstage segment, which was probably the best, with Edge and Christian mocking Miz and Mizdow with the kazoos.
That was true Edge and Christian face shtick.
Right. And I like the fact that they went back and demanded a match and ended up getting the Ascension.
Mm-hmm.
Because that means that you had the Ascension fighting the
former champs
that night. Now, granted, they already fought a match, so, you know, they're not super strong, but you had them taking out Miz and Mizdow quickly. And definitively in their debut match, which that part of it was very good. Also, now we'll see tonight how they play it. But the fact that they lost the titles, then lost to a rookie tag team, this could really help to facilitate. But them not having the titles and maybe not chasing the titles, there's no need for those two guys to be together.
Mm-hmm.
So now we can hopefully see the turn of Mizdow as they go against one another. And it wasn't the way I expected. I expected Royal Rumble, Miz eliminates. I mean, we still might get that, you know, but it was an interesting way to do it. And having them go out there and fight again, it was an interesting way to introduce the Ascension. The match itself was quick. They looked a little tentative in the ring, the Ascension did, in my opinion. They didn't look as hard-hitting and badass.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is a whole different thing for them. This is... Yeah. The scope of that kind of arena is probably something they're not used to.
Yeah, as we were talking about, I think before we went on, the whole LOD demolition thing might be a bit much. Like,
it might be, but if, you know, I think if you push it right, and I think if they can get that hard-hitting style down, a part of that can translate to the audience in 2015. A little cartoony could work as long as they have the aura around them that's necessary for it. I'm not saying it's going to, but there's a possibility for it.
You know, as much as I do like the Ascension, one thing I don't like about them is their finishing move. I don't like the Fall of Man.
It's eye-catching to me. I don't think it's a great finisher necessarily, but tag team finishers are tough.
I think that it's pretty much like a European uppercut and
a leg sweep.
And leg sweep. Mm-hmm. Like an attempt at total elimination, but I don't think it has much impact to it. And it's also not like a technically sound maneuver. To me, a finisher needs to either be so technical it looks good, like when Ray does the Hurricanranas, like they're so quick, or a big high impact maneuver or a really painful looking submission maneuver, and it doesn't look that impressive. I think that if Victor was doing the leg sweep and Connor did like a big lariat along with that, it would have a lot more impact to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I think that the tag team finishers are tough to do. There's been a lot of them over the years that, I mean, Demolition basically did an
assisted backbreaker.
Right. I mean, it was just, that wasn't a great finisher, but it got over because it was Demolition. I never thought that the LODs or Road Warriors finisher
was... Doomsday Device?
Yeah, I mean... This is a clothesline from a guy. I mean, first of all, the only thing that Animal did was put the guy up on his shoulders.
Yeah.
So you just had a clothesline with a guy sitting on another guy's shoulders. That's not, to me, a great finisher.
With a fall.
Yeah, but once again, I don't...
What about 3D?
I always liked the Dudley Death Drop. I thought that was a good one. But there have been good ones, but it's just like... Listen, The Rock got an elbow drop... over as a finishing maneuver.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can get shaky moves like that. Hogan had a leg drop. You know, with the right mystique around those guys, they could make that work. And they just have, I mean, they have to work on it. Then we had the final segment. So we had a segment to close out Raw, essentially with Seth Rollins moving the chess pieces in place to threaten Edge with possibly killing him. I think it was killing at one point he threatened to do.
And
making John Cena bring back the authority. Now, everything that I've said about this show so far, I've really enjoyed. This was the first time I watched a 3-hour episode of Raw and didn't get bored the entire time and wasn't looking at my watch. I did not like seeing the authority come back this quickly, if at all. I didn't necessarily think that it was the best way to reintroduce them because, you know, Cena did get back in the ring and stop Rollins from delivering a curb stomp before he could deliver it anyway. I mean, he did the exact, he saved him anyway.
He's like, well, I'm just going to kill him anyway.
Right. And the fact that you didn't have, in a situation like this, you don't have Roman Reigns coming down. From, you know, his seat up in the rafters.
Roman got hurt earlier in the show, remember?
Okay.
After their match.
Yeah, it's
hurt.
Yeah. It wasn't the best way to do
it. And apparently Cena has no other friends.
Right. Cena's the only,
he's a loner. Underdog.
No, he's the underdog. but that being said, I didn't like the angle, but it was still storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
They set it up earlier on with Cena telling Edge that he respected him. And talking about how their feud over the years, and they set something up. They set this entire thing in play with Rollins over the last few weeks, manipulating things and using Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman. So, do I agree with it? Would I like to see it? No, but it's at least decent storytelling and an interesting way to end Raw.
Yeah, I'm with you that. If they were going to bring them back, they brought them back too early. This was kind of like I said, off air, like when they brought Punk back way too early after taking the title and leaving with it. But I had a feeling it was going to, they were going to have to bring them back at some point because they made the stipulation as such. And while the WWE does have a great reputation for making something into a story and then just forgetting about it, I felt like that was too important of a thing to them never to bring back at some point. And especially with Seth still, since that point in time, he hasn't let it go. He's been like, ever since the authority's been gone, things have been going downhill. We need to bring the authority back. Him still chiming that this entire time was evidence that they're not going to let that go. But yeah, it was way too soon. Now, what they do with that, I don't know. Rumors are floating around that Sting might be on Raw tonight to confront the Authority and have that lead to Hunter and Sting for Mania.
What I was hoping for when I first saw this was that this them coming back would be a short stint with them actually being completely gone from all future plans in the near future. That was the first thing I hoped, because I don't need a heel Authority figure in 2015 on a wrestling show.
Mm-hmm.
We've had that for the last, 75 years. Yeah. Everything's a heel Authority figure since, facetious, obviously. But since Austin McMahon, every company has a heel Authority figure.
Yeah.
And I'm done with it, and I think a lot of people are done with it. It's lazy. That's my first hope, that this will be a short-lived reunion of the Authority. But I just want to mention too, Seth Rollins is the number one heel in the company.
Oh yeah.
And
he might be the number one guy in the
and
company.
He has just consistently put on incredible matches. He's lost cleanly, still keeps his heat. I mean,
and he's gotten so much better on the microphone.
He's not the best, but he's getting better and better. And he just impresses me every time he goes out there. And this was just another example of him being the he's being the cerebral assassin at this point.
Yeah.
He's manipulating the chess pieces. And that's a great thing for someone like Seth to be doing.
Yeah.
So there's another bonus coming out of this show. Another couple bonuses that I didn't mention. It was the things we didn't see. We didn't have to suffer through the new day coming out and then pumping in crowd noise to try to make us believe that anyone cares about them. We didn't see Adam Rose fighting a bunny. We didn't see
Kane.
We didn't see Kane them pretending like Kane's still the demon that's unstoppable when he hasn't won a match in 6 years.
And wearing slacks.
Right, wearing slacks. We didn't see overdrawn out comedy sections of the show. The Divas division was not spectacular, but it was unoffensive for the most part. These are all good steps. This is the kind of wrestling show, for whatever flaws it might have had, that I would not be embarrassed to say, tell my friends, hey, yeah, you should watch this. This is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The last couple months, I will not admit to anyone, even the people that love me the most, that I've consistently watched a show where a man in a bunny costume was fighting a guy who called everybody lemons. Right? So I thought this was a great show. I'm excited for Raw this week. I have not been excited for Raw in a month or so. And, yeah. Overall, what'd you think?
I thought it was a very good show. And I was contemplating texting you, but I wasn't sure if you were watching it live, because sometimes you don't. But then you called me like, excuse me, are you watching this? And I thought it was great that we finally got to see what Raw and maybe our minds should be each week. Maybe they had special guest writers for the show who somehow took the angles and the stories that were going on and made them entertaining entertaining show.
I missed one thing. Bray gave a very short and sweet promo of an ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't rambling, that was straightforward and made sense. And was a great that promo from the back of that ambulance reminded me of Mankind giving a promo from the boiler room in like 97.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Sweet, to the point, effective. Once again, just well done. We can hope that this is the sign of good things to come. It almost feels like Vince McMahon gave this entire show to Triple H to do. You know what I mean? I mean, not that I know that Triple H did it, but that's what it feels like, and it seemed like it was great. My fear is that, that was really boring, and there wasn't nearly enough vomit and fart jokes, so we're going to scrap all that starting the new year.
You know what I find funny about the Authority, and at least one report that I've read that they might build this WrestleMania match with Sting and Triple H as a Sting fighting for Vince McMahon to regain control of the company, is that it's really the complete opposite. Like, Triple H is the one who is very much for all of the,
oh, yeah,
the young guys and moving them up. And Vince is the one hard-headed about, like, no, this is what's best for business, type things. But yet they have been playing opposites on television.
Right.
Like Vince, oh, you gotta give the people what they want. And Triple H being like, no, it's what's best for business. I find that interesting that life imitates art, in that fashion, but a great Raw. I am very much looking forward to tonight's episode.
SmackDown this week, just to mention it, was lackluster. It was a mediocre show. It gave away a couple decent matches, once again ending in DQs. Adam Rose was featured in a tag match. Los Matadores, I think, were involved. I can't even remember anymore. But it was a decent SmackDown, probably a better episode of SmackDown than I've seen recently. So things are looking up. And from Mike and I, who are almost always doom and gloom and bitching about everything, I'm just happy to when I was watching the show, one of my first thoughts were, I get to talk positively about something.
Yeah.
That's exciting to me. I like being a positive guy.
Yeah, we were going to do this whole thing about like things that are positive about WWE and that we like, and we kind of did it here.
Right.
Talking about an excellent show. Do you have a one fucking thing?
I do. Do you want me to go first?
Is it going to be positive?
No.
Then I'll go first because mine's quasi-positive.
All right, go ahead.
I am a very big fan of a former wrestler who went by the name of Nigel McGuinness. He was quite popular on the indie circuit, Ring of Honor most prolifically, and spent a short stint in TNA under the name of Desmond Wolf. Some injuries over time caused him to have to prematurely retire. He has since put out a documentary about his last tour. He does editing work for a television show on True TV, and he is an authority figure for Ring of Honor's television and pay-per-view. Now he has started up a Kickstarter project to try to do a new project in which he wants to take aspects of scripted television. He uses Breaking Bad as an example, and mockumentary style television and the realism of MMA and combine it with professional wrestling to have it come up with something brand new. His idea is a 6-episode series that has a storyline being built in it with wrestling. And I think it's a really unique, interesting idea that he has come up with here. And he did a great job with his documentary. And he seems to have really gotten involved in the whole making of television, movies, and entertainment. And it's called LA Fights. And he's trying to raise, it's a very big number, $370,000. He was able to fund his documentary using Kickstarter relatively quickly. He got like $32,000 in 3 days. And if you go to lafights.com, you can see the whole Kickstarter project video and all of that. And you can contribute where there's a lot of cool rewards on that. I'd very much like to see it. It sounds like an interesting concept and an interesting idea. And it's coming from a guy who I think has a great mind for the business. He was one of the most technically gifted wrestlers out there. Some of his matches with Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson back then in Ring of Honor, were some of the best matches I've ever seen. And he wants to do good for the business by coming up with something interesting and new. And I think you should go take a look at that. LAFights.com.
All right. That was nice. That was positive.
Yeah.
Good plug. That's good. I'm going to talk a little bit about NXT stars moving up to the main roster. In the last year, we saw Adam Rose, Bo Dallas, and Rusev all come up to the main roster. Rusev has been handled pretty well. I don't love the anti-American gimmick, but it sure as hell has gotten him over, and they've created a new star out of it. But other than that, we've seen very, very poorly booked with Adam Rose, all comedy segments, just not anything the crowd's really going to get behind other than, you know, chanting his music every now and then in the beginning. Bo Dallas started to get over, but they gave him very inconsistent booking, never made him look like any kind of real threat, and then had him eventually lose his winning streak to R-Truth, which that's just a kiss of death anytime. Then we've seen recently Charlotte come up to the main roster for one match, lose to Natalya, who's an excellent in-ring worker but has been made to look not very dangerous by the bookers in about a five-minute match with a roll-up, looking not strong at all. And even though the Ascension came up and beat Miz in Mizdow, which I thought was a very, very good idea, as their first match, they did not. The Ascension have run roughshod through NXT for over a year. They've destroyed people. They've been just unstoppable. They have this wealth of archival now footage of them. They can show matches. They can show their destruction. They can put those on in their video package. The announcers can hype up how long they held the NXT tag titles. They can talk about the foundation of Ascension and everything about the team. And they have this backstory. And they've used none of that in their first two matches or their first week up on the main roster. None of it. It's like it never even happened. Charlotte comes up to the main roster for her first match with the title and jobs out to someone who jobs to everybody. When she's the most dominant and most exciting female wrestler that I've ever seen. So, what you're seeing here is not using NXT to actually prop up and give your talent a running start. We've heard rumors that Adrian Neville is going to have a Mighty Mouse type character in the WWE. When he comes up. Now, I don't think that means they're going to put mouse ears on him in a cape, but I do think what that means is they're going to highlight how short he is. Instead of highlighting how ridiculously strong and athletic he is, instead of highlighting what he can do with aerial maneuvers, they're going to make him Crash Holly. Right? Now, we don't know this, but this is what we people have heard in rumors. The fact is that you have a show that airs for 1 hour every week on their network, which is they are trying to push into infinity. And when they bring up these guys from NXT, they don't use it as an opportunity to promote NXT and promote these guys and make them seem like a big deal from the beginning. Now, the Ascension beat the former tag team champs, but there's so much more they could use to get these guys over. The crowd was cold for that match because they didn't know who these guys were. They had the opportunity to do that. They could have shown vignettes, not just them in some smoke-filled room screaming at the camera, but they could have shown footage of them destroying NXT talent with the NXT announcers talking about all the things they've done and the devastation they brought through NXT. This is just plain common sense booking for a team that you want to come in and be thought of as a major threat. And then when you see that footage, it would give people ideas of, wow, we've got an amazing young female talent in Charlotte. We've got the Ascension. We've got Rusev. We've got Bo Dallas. We've got all these guys that have come up. Maybe I should start watching this so I know the next guys who are coming up to the main roster. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe you'd sell a few more subscriptions to your network if you were able to actually use that as a cross-promotion. So kudos to them for bringing people up, for giving them matches against, you know, established stars. But there's so much more that can be done with relative ease. That was it.
Good job.
No. Thank you.
We're a little shy of 50 minutes.
Okay.
You want to do
tough. I want to do whatever you want to do.
You want to get naked and wrestle?
Wow. I want to do...
Let's give Christian what he wanted.
I want to do some things that you want to do, not all of them, apparently.
Want to do a top five?
Sure.
All right. We had talked about this a couple episodes ago about doing this one. Top five things you would change right now about the product.
Okay.
I went first with one fucking thing. Why don't you go?
All right.
Go first. And I think we're all completely different on.
I think so.
These
yeah.
Things.
So my first one just got thrown out of the window with the re-debut of the Authority. But my first one is no heel Authority figures. We don't need heel Authority figures right now. You can use a Jack Tunney type character or a Gorilla Monsoon type character to be the commissioner or whatever you want to call them, the GM of the show. You can give them a minor role that shows up in when they're needed, or you could put it on a babyface type character like Mick Foley, that if you want a little more entertainment value out of it. But I don't even think you need that. I think you need some figurehead who's quote-unquote books matches but doesn't get involved. Let's see how that goes for a little while. The fact that Triple H and Stephanie despise people that make them billions of dollars and that the crowd loves and hate everyone the crowd loves makes absolutely zero sense. It worked with Austin McMahon because Austin was this phenomenon. He was the foul-talking, blah, blah, blah. The fact that you wouldn't love John Cena when he gives you all the promotion, all the goodwill, everything he brings to that company, the fact that the Authority wouldn't want him to be the lead guy is just preposterous. So that would be my first thing, and apparently it's never going to happen. My second thing, just to go back to basics in the Divas division, just pretend that the last decade didn't happen. Okay? Get, as Mike has mentioned, get some people from NXT to talk to the writers about how to book women's wrestling. Put Paige, bring Charlotte up there, but put Paige, AJ if she's still around, Natalya. The Bellas are fine. They're getting better in the ring, especially when they can work with someone that can work. And just book these women to fight each other because they want the women's title. Book them in wrestling storylines, book them in grudge matches, and let them do their thing and stop treating it like Total Divas on Monday night. They have that show on E for anyone who cares to watch it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Please stop putting it on my wrestling program.
Good point.
Just back to basics. Let's book these women as wrestlers. Because with Sasha Banks and Natalya and Charlotte and Paige and Bayley, they've got so many good, talented workers that I would love to watch a 15-minute match.
And guess what? They all have different gimmicks and personalities. They're
yeah.
not all the crazy psycho bitch.
Right.
Or the super conceited bitch.
Right.
Which is pretty much all they know how to book with a woman.
But there's so much potential in that. And so many good, talented performers that it's just a shame that we are subjected to the things we are. Please, if it was my choice, right? This is my choice.
Yeah.
I would stop the champions should not win a title one night, an Intercontinental title like Ziggler, and then lose their next 15 matches on free television only to win again the next pay-per-view. Champions should be booked strong. They should not lose non-title matches just for no reason whatsoever. Champions are champions. Champions should be booked strong. They can lose by DQ. They can have a few. You need to be able to book matches with them and do them creatively. But these champions losing non-championship matches all the time does no one any favors.
They lose a non-title match to someone who then becomes the number one contender and you then build off of that, yes.
Right. But it does no one any favors. It makes the title look weak. It makes the performer look weak. This is something we need jobbers in 2015. We need R-Truth. We need Zack Ryder. Unfortunately, Zack Ryder, we hope, was more than a jobber. But we need someone like Zack Ryder. We need Los Matadores. We need Heath Slater. We need guys who are entertaining enough that can go in and lose a match to a bigger star and make them look like superstars. because if we're subjected to Roman Reigns fighting Seth Rollins, or right now, Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose have been in approximately 37 matches in the past month and a half, give or take. They seem to fight every time I turn around, and it becomes meaningless.
And with all the street fights they're having, they might be right behind you.
No, you never know. But they've fought in so many matches, and they're just booked on all these shows. I understand that there's only so much you can do with a storyline to keep guys apart, but you need to keep guys apart more often. And by giving people, feeding them jobbers from time to time, it's not a terrible thing. They stopped that during the Monday Night Wars because they were trying to outdo each other every week. So they were giving away pay-per-view main events on free TV. And that's great sometimes. The tag team titles switching hands on Raw was wonderful. But I don't have a problem with seeing Bo Dallas come out and beat a couple local wrestlers that aren't on the main roster. As long as they're entertaining, that we feel that the storyline is going somewhere, then that's fine.
And you know, that also helps, like you said, local talents maybe get seen by some of the people in the WWE who may have never heard of them, mm-hmm. kind of an open tryout of sorts. I mean, you can go back and look at Heat, Velocity, Superstars matches, and see Edge. Guys who are big stars now that were jobbers.
Well, the Hardy Boys, Edge. I mean, there's a lot of guys that came
Daniel
up.
Daniel Bryan.
Mick Foley.
Yeah.
So many guys. So
Foley's first ever match, he was beaten near to death by the British Bulldogs. Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with that, and I would like to see the return of that. And it would just give some of the guys in the roster something to do. What's Titus O'Neil doing nowadays?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd love to see, he's got great charisma and a great look. I'd like to see him more relevant in storylines, but if they have nothing for him, at least give him some matches on TV. Give him a chance. So, and the last thing I have is, just storylines and continuity. Give me a reason for why things are happening. Give me a story. Follow the story to its conclusion and give me an ending. The Bellas is a perfect example of not doing this correctly. Brie was her personal assistant for 30 days, and then when the 30 days were up, they were just fine again, even though Nikki said that she hoped Brie had died in the womb. This is just super lazy and once again does no one any favors. Coherent, logical storylines that go from A to B, give us a finish, and then move on to the next story. Remember what you did last week, remember what you did last month, and build on them. And that's my top five things that I would change right now if I had the power in WWE.
Those are all very good. I am going to start with... It's a small thing, and maybe it doesn't mean a whole lot, but I think it could change a lot by not re-signing certain wrestlers that are over a particular age to at least talent contracts. It's nothing against them personally, but it opens up spots on the roster for younger guys to take over, like Big Show, like Kane. I mean, give them backstage jobs. I mean, you've done it with a lot of guys. I mean, Mercury and Noble were working backstage for a while before they were given some screen time again. You got Fit Finlay, Dean Malenko, Arn Anderson all back there. And they can help those younger guys as well that are coming in and filling in those spots. I would restart, but make the tag division relevant again. Tag team wrestling can be some of the most entertaining wrestling out there. And I know that this is a big thing that Vince hates. Why should I pay two guys for something that one guy can do? And you have talented teams out there with the Usos, the Rhodes brothers, the Miz and Mizdow, Ascension, El Matadoras, those guys are extremely talented but have a stupid gimmick going on right now. Tyson and Cesaro, you could even make the New Day something worth watching and being important in that division. And then you have down in NXT, the Lucha Dragons and the Vaudevillains, Enzo and Big Cass. I mean, you have a chance to have a really good tag division, but it's just thought that why it's kind of like a sideshow tag team wrestling, or a way to get a match done with two different feuds by having this guy and that guy opposite, and then that guy taming with the guy one against guy two. And
I'm not very good with math. What just happened there?
Yeah, like
you're basically saying that right now you have Reigns and Big Show in a feud, and you've got Rusev and Ryback in a feud. So let's put Reigns and Ryback and Rusev, yeah, and Big Show in a match.
Exactly.
That's all we ever get on Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah. Next is Turn Cena.
He's never going to happen.
But if I'm there,
it was your choice. Yeah, do it.
I'm there. I'm turning Cena. I think that there's the potential for, and we've talked about this before, potential to have something that we haven't seen in a long time, since probably Hogan did it, and having the super over, well, maybe not super over, but the ultra baby face, the one and only, be the baddie and be the guy who is sick and tired of the fans. And there's so much that could be done with it. I just wish it would be done. And next, change the announce team, blow it up. And Michael Cole, maybe Michael wouldn't be so bad if he wasn't with people that didn't seem to care. JBL doesn't seem to care. He can be good and have a nice, like, one-liner here and there, but he most of the time just doesn't care and wants to try to get himself over like he needs to. And I don't know. I think Jerry's just wants to be a parody of himself now. I would bring Tom Phillips in or Rich Brennan from NXT as the straight guys, the call, the play-by-play guys. I think that the NXT announce teams have done great. Alex Riley.
Would you also tell them to call the match?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yes. And that's what the NXT guys do very well. They call the in-ring action, and they can also tell the story about what's going on between them in between there, but they're not going to miss calling big moves or important spots in the match. I think Alex Riley's been doing a very good job as the heel commentator. Jason Albert, and Corey Graves, he did an admirable job on, our Evolution. That announce team needs to go. I'm sorry, Jerry. I know you've been around for a long time and you've had some great years, but maybe it's time for you to do some network, work. Like, I don't know, come up with some, be the talking head on some of those shows there. And that's about it. You do your drawings and your artist stuff. Make some money off of that. And lastly, I would demand that Vince step down.
You're doing very small things.
Yeah.
Slight tweaks so far. Slight tweaks.
Yes. give Triple H the power to be the final say in everything. If Triple H wants Vince to be like a consigliere to him, kind of like when Michael had his father as his initial consigliere, I think that's fine, because Vince could probably still teach Triple H a number of things that he's not up to yet. But as for the ultimate decision making and what's going on with the talent, the storylines, and what's going on TV, I think that it's about time that those reins go to Triple H, because Vince is still stuck in this weird world that he lives in, where fart jokes and bunny costumes and whatnots are what the people want to see, even though week after week they tell them what they want to see and what they don't want to see, and they don't care. He doesn't. Well, at least he doesn't. So those are my five things that I would change about the product.
I think between the two of us, we've got the whole thing covered.
Yeah. Who wants to give us some money to start a wrestling promotion?
No, just who wants to do a coup in the WWE and install us into power?
Yes.
Someone call Seth Rollins. We know it's best for business.
Yes, yes. Seth, call me. Email me, something. Well, that filled out the hour. Anything else you want to add?
I do want to add one thing.
Raw comes on tonight.
This has nothing to do with anything we're talking about, but I don't care. Actually, it does because you just mentioned Triple H. So I just watched I can't remember. I want to say it was SummerSlam. You might remember this. 1998 ladder match, Rock and Triple H. Was that SummerSlam? I want to say this was SummerSlam. Anyway, ladder match between Rock and Triple H. Incredible. Incredible match. I just watched the whole thing. I was watching that show. And as great, as much as I loved Razor and Shawn, both of them, and the tag team matches, the TLC matches were absolutely incredible. A young Triple H and a young Rock fighting for the IC title was phenomenal. I mean, that was like the coming out party, I thought, for both those guys as main event caliber performers. And it also goes to show you that a match like that can launch people. And there's a lot going on. And obviously, we all know how much talent Rock had and has. And we all know, what ended up happening for both those guys. So looking back, you might think, well, of course, they're talented guys. They're going to rise to the top. But they put them in a great match. They booked them both very strong. It was brutal. It was well paced. The crowd the crowd responded to everything, gave them a standing ovation at the end. And, this is the kind of thing that we should be seeing with guys like Dean and Seth and Roman. We got to put them up. You have to put them on that kind of stage and let them play to their strengths and let them be the ones to take the reins from some of the more established guys on the top of the card.
Pun intended.
What's that?
Pun intended.
Ah, no, I forgot that I said that word. But anyway, I just think about that.
Well, I think we had a nice episode.
Of course we did.
Very positive one.
Very wonderful.
Yes, we are. We're going to, I don't know about you, I don't know if you have things to do, but I'm going to watch Raw here in the next hour. I highly doubt that people will be able to listen to this in time before we get to that part of the...
I'm going to watch Raw, and we'll be back, obviously, in a couple weeks, probably at least one more before...
We should have one more before.
Just so everyone knows, I'm ahead of Mike in our fantasy wrestling for this month. He beat me soundly
two.
Mike just beats me completely all the time.
It's probably the only thing I can beat him in.
Probably. But I'm up by almost 200 points at this juncture, and I have a good strong roster. So please, everyone, pray for me. I really need this for my ego. I need to win this. So please, have me in your thoughts.
Well, the obligatory plug time is up. Make sure you always check out our website, misspotspodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter, where actually tonight I'll be live tweeting along with Raw, as I always do. That is at Miss Spots. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/MissSpots. And as always, subscribe to us on iTunes if you want to get us as soon as we upload it. It'll be automatically there on your mobile device or your computer or wherever you have your iTunes at. And we'll see you guys in a couple weeks, where we'll kind of preview the Rumble coming up, and we'll see you then.